Hey y'all, it's Lisa from the Evolve Association, and thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of this amazing podcast where we are encouraging, motivating, loving on women who are moving from toxic situations and relationships to a whole version of themselves. The country in me was going to come out. So I have been doing a lot of digging, and we will see a lot more of this in season two. Well, we will start basically calling these sessions wholesome recipes, which are essentially recipes that feed your soul and fuel your life, because essentially that's what it is that we're doing. We are feeding our souls, fueling our lives so that we can move from those toxic situations, relationship circumstances into a whole version of ourselves, the version that God designed us to be. So if you're just joining me for the first time, hey girl. Thank you for allowing me to spend a few moments just speaking into your life. You could have been anywhere, but you chose to be here, and I'm grateful for your time, and I appreciate you. What I want you to do, though, is stop, press pause, and go back and listen to the previous episodes where we talk about the discard phase. We talk about moving from toxic relationships, and there's a lot of gems in those podcasts, or in those episodes, rather. So be sure to pause now, go back, get those jewels, and then start this episode so that you can be caught up with the rest of us, and you can have tools and information that you need to heal, to evolve, and to be all you can be, girl, because that's what we're here for. So our last episode, we talked about healing, which I think is so important, especially in the season that I'm in, because I've had so many people tell me so many things about healing and what it looks like, and I've, you know, done everything that everybody wanted me to do, and I've gotten to a place where I now understand not only what healing is and not only what healing is, but also what healing requires. And so that's what I want to talk about today. What does healing require? What does healing require? Because in the last episode, we talked about kind of like other people's perspective of healing and the definition of healing and all of that kind of stuff. Now where we are, now that we understand what healing is, let's answer the question, what does healing require from us? So this episode is going to be called No Contact, Healing and Separation. No contact, healing and separation. Toxic relationships, if you have been in one, then you can attest to this. Toxic relationships have destroyed your identity, your value, your significance, and your mindset. When you are in a toxic relationship, everything about you changes. How you maneuver changes, your hustle changes, how you see yourself changes, how you see the world changes, how you see love changes, how you see relationships changes. Everything changes, and it's not only like romantic. You can have toxic friendships. Your perspective on friendships changes. Your perspective on trust changes. How you trust people, how you extend that trust changes. So I believe that it is unrealistic to believe that you can heal in environments that remind you of toxic behaviors that you are free from, that you're now free from. So if, for me, let's use me as an example, because, you know, the best lessons come from, you know, your experiences. So in my last situation, me and this person was still going to church together. My son was still going to church. And not too long ago, we were a family dynamic. And if you don't know the story, let me catch you up really quickly. I was in a relationship with somebody for 4 years. We were slated to be married. It was abusive, completely toxic, and I was head over heels and was gonna marry this person. Oh, Jesus. And so, I mean, I had been hit in the eye, I had been drugged, I had been beat in front of my son, I had been, like, you know, I lost my baby as a result of the abuse, like, just so much. I was pregnant, rather, and I had a miscarriage as a result of the abuse. And so, I had been through so much with the person, but I just had hope that we can go to counseling, that we could fix it, that we could just get this toxicness out if we just sought God and just, you know, worked it out. Long story short, he left me and my son in a hotel room, completely abandoned us at a time when we were low. Now, mind you, in this relationship, I've always been the breadwinner. I've always taken care of our family dynamic. I had never been down financially or physically in the relationship, but the moment that I was down financially, he abandoned me and my son in a hotel room with no money and no food, and I basically had to figure it out from there. After that, I was homeless for a while. I was staying in my car. I was taking showers at my job, sleeping outside of my job. I had to put my son with my aunt for a little bit so that he wouldn't have to be homeless, so I can save money to move in this small apartment that I live in now, that I'm grateful for. And shortly after, I want to say maybe 3 months after, he remarried his baby mom, or his child's mother. And the story behind that is, when we got together, she refused to allow him to have access to his child. So I asked him, you know, what is it that you wanted to do? And so he wanted to go for 50-50. And so I helped pay for an attorney to get 50-50 of that child, only for him to turn around and marry her, which everybody was kind of flabbergasted about. Okay, so now we're all caught up. So after this, after the marriage, all this kind of stuff, all of us were going to church together. Me and my son, him and his wife, and then the stepdaughter that I had, which is their child they share in common, and her other son. And so I found that I was taking in counsel and I was being fake. because the counsel was, you know, forgive and move on. That's your brother in Christ and all of that. And so I tried, but it was something in me that was just like, this situation is not right and I am not completely over it. So I don't want to talk to him. I have not let it go because my life has like completely changed. And when I say not let it go, I had not let it go to the point where we could be friends and we could talk. Like I didn't find the need for us to be friends, or even for me to be friends with her like that or whatever. I mean, I believed in us being cordial, but not being BFFs and like sitting down having lunch together or whatever. Like, no. So recently, even though I love the people at the church, my son loves the people at the church, but I had to make a decision for me and my child that that environment was no longer conducive for us to be in. It was no longer conducive for my spiritual growth, for my physical, mental, and emotional well-being, because every time I'm coming to church, I'm seeing him and his wife in this new family dynamic so soon after our separation. And so the expectation for me was to basically pretend like it didn't happen. But then the conversations behind the scenes will be like, we acknowledge that this did happen. And it's like, okay, are we going to pretend like it didn't happen? Or are we going to acknowledge that it did happen? So I had to come to a conclusion that I can no longer rely on that counsel. I have to do what God is telling me to do, which was to separate myself from that situation, because I was unable to heal with that toxic person in the atmosphere, in my presence, knowing the gravity of the situation and how much it has altered my life and my child's life. So I believe that in order to heal, a separation must occur. You must separate from people, relationships, and places that takes you back to that negative space. Every time I went to church and I'm supposed to be honoring God, glory, hallelujah, we worship you, God, my mind is like, they are pretending like this man has not done anything wrong. They are pretending like this man is justified in his actions. Like they are, you know, like my mind is like not in the right place. And it's not to say I'm trying to judge his decision. What I was judging was how it was done. Because you can't force, and take this away too, you can't force anybody to be where they don't want to be. Okay, you have to let people go and flourish. And I'm happy that he has gone to flourish, just like you should be happy that whatever relationship has demised, that they have gone on to do whatever it is that they wanted to do. But it's all about how you do things. Because how you do things affect other people. And that's something that they were preaching at the church too, that, you know, your actions affect your brothers and sisters, but that was never addressed between him and I. It was always me being the one to forgive, me being the one, you know, to treat him as a brother, etc. And it's like, sis, it's not gonna happen like that. I would treat him like another child of God and I would speak to him, hello, and I would keep it moving. But anything beyond that, you know, I didn't feel like it was necessary. So when I separated from those people, I separated from that relationship, and I separated from that place, where I'm at today is in even more of a positive space. Even though, you know, I have to groom my child to kind of prepare to be away from them for a while, or until God says for us to go back, in the long run, like, it would be better off for him than to be in an environment in which there is tension, toxicness, and all that kind of stuff going on around. So when I say separate, what I'm saying is no contact, okay? Particularly no contact with the person with whom the relationship has demise with. So whether that's a friend, whether that's church people, whether that's people at your job, like whoever it is that you have deemed that this person is toxic and has not added significant positive value to my life, the separation that I'm referring to is no contact. Okay? No contact is eliminating all forms of communication with your toxic past. This includes conversations, text message, social media check-ins, having your girlfriends check on social media, your homeboys check the other person's social media to see what they have going on. Like, you have to cut all forms of communication with that person. Now, in my situation, I've cut all communications with my previous ex and his wife. Everything that comes with them in that package, I've cut all communication. We don't have anything to talk about. Now, as far as the church people, I don't mind talking to them because I don't have anything against them. I just won't be in the company or in the dwelling if he's in the dwelling until I feel like I'm at a place where that is something that I can handle. But a call to check in, that's fine. I don't mind communicating. But with him, there's absolutely no contact. He's not on any of my social medias. He does not have my phone number. We don't have anything to talk about. You know, when I was going to the same church, when he would try to have outside conversations about food because I love to cook, I would ignore and just keep it moving because I'm a firm believer that when people know that they have done wrong, instead of coming forth and apologizing specifically for exactly what they did, they will try to beat around the bush and try to have these side conversations with you. And that's not correct. If anybody, including yourself, if you owe anybody an apology, the standard that you should set is you're going to apologize and address that which you have done wrong. You're not coming with an ambiguous apology, okay? Let that be a life lesson. If you have done somebody wrong, you come correct and you address and apologize for the error, okay? Because a general apology does not, what does that mean? I don't know what you're apologizing for. I apologize for cussing you out. I apologize for this. Whatever, you go and you apologize for the specific thing that you felt like you have done wrong or you have, you know, messed up with someone else. Now, other people may not come with that same form of apology, but you can set the standard. But mind you cannot control people. That's just a sidebar. So I've cut all forms of communication with him. There's nothing that we have to talk about. I'm not on his social media. I don't care about the pictures that he's posted. My homegirls are not, you know, checking for him either. My family's not checking for him. Like, nobody cares, excuse me, about him, excuse me, about what he has going on. So there's nobody reporting back to me really anything or whatnot. So for you, are you checking in on his social media, sis? Are you seeing what pictures he's posting? Are you having your girlfriends to go check and see what he got going on or whatnot? Are you texting trying to get an understanding of why the relationship demise, why he did what he did? Are you trying to hold that conversation with him? If you are, stop and go to no contact, because what you're doing is putting yourself in a unnecessary emotional downpour that is never going to be satisfied or resolved based on them. They don't feel like they owe you any explanation. And technically, they may not. You would like one. I would like one. But they may not feel like they owe that to us. And so we have to accept that we do not control people. We can only control ourselves and how we respond to situations. So because the demise of the relationship, however it went down, is down, we have decided to go completely no contact so that we can focus on ourselves. And that really is the purpose of no contact. It's so that you can focus on yourself, focus on your well-being, focus on your relationship with God and what God wants you to do. Too many times we are so focused on getting a word from somebody else, getting advice from somebody else, when God is trying to tell you what to do, but you're not being obedient. So obey God in the season of no contact, okay? So when you do choose to maintain contact, you, as I stated, you keep yourself in an emotional state of negativity. And sis, we don't have time for that. since I've stopped going there, like, one of the things, fall is my favorite, like, season. I love fall. I love the coolness in Florida. Sometimes it still be a little humid, but I love the coolness in Florida. I love, like, taking walks and feeling the breeze and just being outside and just enjoying the life that God has given me today. I wasn't doing that before. So after the complete no contact and the separation from the church and all of that, I'm beginning to enjoy those simple things again and enjoy God's creation, enjoy like the world that God has allowed me to be in, enjoy the relationship with my son that God has blessed me with, enjoy the conversations with my sister as I'm able to walk, enjoy how the sky changes and how it looks at dusk, enjoy the cars going by, the wind blowing through my locks, like enjoying like knowing that I'm doing something that is beneficial for my tomorrow, which is working out. So I'm not in a state of negativity emotionally. My vibration, my energy is elevating to a place of joy, a place of peace, where I can see life as God intended for me to see it. But it took for me to have to separate from those people, those relationships, and those places that continue to remind me of that toxicness. Okay. So when you, after this podcast, rather, my hope is that you would, you know, decide to go no contact if the Lord is leading you to do that. So what I want to do is just prepare you for some things that you need to be prepared to look out for, prepared to receive once you go no contact. Okay. So the first thing is ridicule and judgment. Okay. Ridicule and judgment. Folks may not agree with you separating from them, from you leaving their church, leaving their establishment, not talking to them, not dealing with them the same, you know, not putting them in your private business, you know, what, however you choose to modify this no contact, because for some people, this podcast may not be completely no contact, depending on what segment you're in, relationship, friendship, etc. For some, it may be stop putting people in your business. Okay, that's fine too. If that's how it applies, that's how it applies. But folks may not be in agreement with how that separation manifests itself. Okay, because they are bearing the negative brunt of that. They're not constantly being, you know, communicated with, or they're not in the same space with you as they were before. But this is the thing that I'm learning, sis. And this is the tea that I want to spill out tonight. The situation happened to you, not them. And it is easy for people on the outside to look at your situation and dictate to you how you should handle your situation. But guess what? It didn't happen to them. It didn't happen to them. And that's a big thing about trauma. Trauma is a significant situation or circumstance that has happened in your life that has changed the trajectory of your life. For some people, it is sexual assault, molestation. For others, it's growing up without their parents. For others, it's their parents dying early. You know, whatever significant that you consider significant that has changed how you felt. Nobody can't tell you how to handle that or how to deal with that. You have internalized things that have happened to you in your youth that is causing you to deal with a certain situation in a certain way. So let me give you an example so it can make sense. So for me, I grew up without my dad. So I grew up with the desire of wanting my father in my life, not knowing who he was, looking for that validation or something to feel that. And as a result of that, I got into bad relationships, accepted abuse, thinking that it was the norm, etc. So when this situation happened in this relationship, it has altered my trust and my perspective on relationships. And so that's why I have gone no contact. Now, for somebody to come in and say, you should not go no contact, well, that's your opinion because you're looking at this one isolated situation, but you're not looking at the history in which caused me to be emotionally where I'm at. Okay, so You have to know that the situation happened to you, and God is going to teach you and show you how to handle that situation. But you have to be prepared for people saying that you're wrong, that people, you know, are not in agreement with how you're doing things. But again, they don't know your trauma that has brought you to the place of where you are. They often look at this one incident, but they're forgetting that you were molested by your uncle. They're forgetting that your parents left you destitute. They're forgetting that you were raised up in foster care. So they're missing all of these breaches and only judging this one situation, and that's not a fair assessment. So be prepared for that and keep the trauma-informed conversation that I just had with you in mind, so that you know that it's not only just this situation, but there are things that have led up to me being who I am today. Now, with me saying that, if you do have past trauma, you need to make sure that you get that resolved. Go to counseling, go to God, go to therapy if it's needed. But you need to make sure that you're resolving those traumatic situations, because if you do not resolve them, then technically you have not really matured to where you think you are. Example, if I was molested when I was 9 years old and I'm now 29, mentally I'm 9, because I'm seeing everything through that one situation or that one lens. So until that is addressed, it doesn't matter how old I get, my mindset is going to be that of that little girl until it is completely healed, addressed, and resolved. Okay? All right. So another thing that you need to be prepared for when you go no contact is emotional uncertainty. When I first made this decision to go no contact, I was all over the place. I didn't know, should I do it? Should I not do it? What they gonna think? How they gonna feel? They gonna think I'm not holy? They gonna think I'm not right? Oh my gosh, okay, I'm gonna just go back and then I'm gonna just be around him. I'm gonna be around them. I'm gonna just deal with it. I'm gonna just, hide whatever I feel in my heart, and I'm gonna just go and just, I was all over the place. But I had to come to a decision that I am in this place. I am in this emotional distress. I am in this emotional spiral. They are not. So you have to come to a place where you know that for me to heal, to become the whole version of myself that God wants me to be, I have to make a decision right now that going no contact is best for me, it's best for my child, it is best for my walk with God, it's best for my spirituality, it is best for my life. And once you come to that decision, the emotional uncertainty will go away. All right? All right, so what to prepare for when you go no contact? We talked about ridicule and judgment, emotional uncertainty, and the last thing is you should expect the desire to appease others. When you make a decision like no contact, it ties into ridicule and judgment. When people say, so you ain't dealing with me like that no more, or so you're not going to talk to me, or whatever the case may be, it is easy for, in your emotional uncertainty, for you to come to a place and, like I said, just decide to do something just because other people want you to do it. But here's the thing that I want to caution you. If your decision is based on appeasing other people, you're always going to be in a cycle of emotional uncertainty, because people are fickle and they're subject to change. Their emotions change. Our emotions change on a daily. So you have to understand that no decision that you make is going to satisfy everybody. The only person that you should be trying to satisfy is God. And God will make sure that everybody else who's around you will be satisfied with the decision one way or another. So combat those feelings to appease others, knowing that as long as you are in a negative emotional cycle, as long as you are in a toxic mindset, toxic emotions, toxic situations, just like in our last episode, we talked about how that toxicness takes an effect on you, on your body, on your hair, your skin, your mental well-being, physical well-being, all of that. You are not yourself. You are not in a healthy place in any area of your life. So you have to please God so that God can take care of the rest. God can beat anybody. God can fight anybody. And I have just learned that God is going to fight my battles. I don't have to go and argue with the people at that church. I don't have to explain myself or none of that kind of stuff. I know that in order for me to be one with God, in order for my spiritual walk to be where it needs to be, I have to completely heal from this terrible thing that had happened to me and my son that God is using as a blessing. I needed to get away from that so I could be one with God. And so that's not an explanation that I owe anybody other than my child and the good Lord Jesus. And if anybody else is not in agreement with that, then they can go to God, pray to God, and God could deal with them accordingly. But it's not your place to always articulate the reason behind why you're doing something, how you're doing. Like, that's not always your place to do that. And one thing that you should be asking yourself is God telling you to do that? Is God telling you to explain yourself from point A to point B? Like, is God telling you to tell people why you chose to go no contact, why you chose to leave the toxic relationship? Like, what happened in, like, who is God telling you to do that? Because sometimes we share much more of ourselves than what God is telling us to share, and we invite the ridicule, we invite the judgment, we invite the emotional uncertainty because we're not obedient to God. In this season of my life, I'm not talking to anybody about my emotional well-being unless it's God or somebody God has brought into the picture where God says, okay, you can speak to that person. And God bears witness with our spirit. Just like when you have that unction, like, oh, I'm not supposed to do that. That's God cautioning you. That's the spirit of God telling you or giving you warnings and things like that. Adhere to that voice. Adhere to your conscience, because that is God giving you instruction. God is faithful to me and to you, and my goal for us is to get rid of all forms of toxicness, because it is so true that a toxic relationship takes you down. Like, it takes you down to a place where you don't even know where you are, and it's just it's necessary to heal. It is necessary to heal. It is necessary for you to take the time to heal. It's necessary for you to take the time to fellowship with God, for you to become who God wants you to be. Listen, sis, when I got into that toxic relationship, before I was in it, I was a completely different person. And once I started doing my lives on Instagram, I'm going to start showing you all pictures of who I was before and who I am now. Physically, I was bigger before. I had long, healthy hair. Those 3.5-4 years of being with that person tore me down. Physically, I lost weight, not even trying. Like, before, I was trying to lose weight, but the stress got the best of me, like, in that relationship. Lost weight. My hair fell out. Like, it was thinning. I couldn't do nothing with it. Like, it was a challenge. It was life-changing. And even though I love who I am right now, I recognize that I became this person as a result of toxicness and stress. So identify where you are, sis, on the spectrum, and heal so that you can become the version, not even the version, the person who God intended you to be before you got into that toxic relationship or that toxic friendship. There's a greater you. There's a loving you. There's a whole you. There's an amazing you. And I don't want you to sit and think that because you were in a toxic relationship, that now you're torn down. Now you're unworthy. Now you're not wanted. That's the furthest thing from the truth. And that's the reason for this podcast, to bring your mindset up to where God wants it to be, so you can see yourself in the light in which He has created you to be. So I think I preached. Huh? Pass the collection plate on tonight. So I hope that this Healing and Separation podcast, or this episode of No Contact, has really answered the question, what does healing require of you? You are the biggest champion in your process of healing. Be a champion for yourself, sis. Make those tough decisions and let God take care of the rest. All right. So, thank you all for tuning in to this episode of the Evolve Podcast, where we are encouraging, motivating, loving on women who are moving from toxic situations and relationships to a whole version of themselves. And we're going to keep giving out these wholesome recipes that feed your soul and fuel your life. And I hope that you will tell somebody about this amazing podcast. I hope that you will comment on my Instagram and just let me know, you know, how I'm doing. Like, if you're learning anything, if you're taking anything away, because that's the goal of this podcast, is just to really bring information to you so that you can really heal and get information from a real girl who was in real situations, who grew up in the projects, but is elevating her life, you know, to a whole nother place with her son. And I'm glad that you're on this journey with me. So I hope to see y'all next time, or talk to y'all next time.